Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 202 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. I hope you all had a really great Christmas and a great New Year's. And it's great to be back with you. Today on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about where you can find the CCFR this spring. We're going to be everywhere. We've got tons of shows that we're doing, and we're going to tell you what we're bringing with us as well. So that'll be interesting. Pierre Poilievre and the Conservative Party of Canada have been roaring back in the polls, which is great news for licensed gun owners, especially if we end up with an election coming this spring. Who knows? Anyway, no choice. We just got to keep fighting. And hope for the best, prepare for the worst, as they say. And our great friend, Big Gary, as we like to call him, Gary Anandasangri, the current Minister of Public Safety here in Canada, is back in the news again and again for all the wrong reasons. Anyway, we've got a whole lot more we're going to chat about. All that and more. CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. All right, we are back. Now, before I bring Tracy on, I've got a couple of things to go over with you, and I'm going to do it via segues through a couple of things that I have rattling around in my head that I just want to share with you, because I think it's important to share some positive things as well as negative things, right? But before I forget, I have a story to share with you as well in the outro, so make sure you stick around for that. So, one of the things I wanted to say is I hope that everyone had a really great Christmas and New Year's, great holiday season, great Hanukkah, whatever it is that you celebrate. Now, I would have liked to have more time off for Christmas, but I always talk a big game before, I'm shutting it right down. You know, I never really do, but I had some time off, but here's a couple of the reasons why I was busy and over Christmas, and I want to share them with you. Number one, the CCFR is coming out with probably one of the most ambitious projects we've ever done. And I'm hoping to have it out for you by the end of this month, by the end of January, because now is the time to strike. The CCFR as an organization is not one that's like, you know, oh, we better come out and communicate with the people that are giving us money, that are volunteering for us, that are supporting us. Yeah, hey, don't worry. We're out there on the front lines. We're leading the charge. We're working quietly behind the scenes. Oh, we're doing the heavy lifting for gun owners. You know, we're taking it to the liberals. It's like, that's meaningless. It's so worthless. It just offends me. It's like, let me tell you what we're doing. Let me tell you what we've done just in the past little while. That's what's important. And I'll tell you why that's important, because it's the relationship between me and the rest of the CCFR and you, the people that are either members or you've donated to us, or you share our stuff, or you volunteer. These are what I call supporters. If you support the CCFR, that relationship is based on trust. And that trust doesn't happen unless you see us actually stinking, doing things, not just saying that we're doing things, or looking, you know, me say, oh, we're doing things. We showed up at this place once. Like, just, man, we are in the fight for our lives. We're in the fight for our property. We're in a fight for the next generation to be able to legally own and use firearms, which is fundamental in a free society. So the fight never stops. So by the end of this month, I'm hoping to have this project out. I'm hoping you'll see how big it is and the effect that it could have. It's really big. So anyway, that's one of the reasons why I didn't get a lot of rest over the holidays. Don't get me wrong, I got some. And I
I'm grateful for it. The other thing, too, by the way, I had have a personal project you guys might know, which is my hunting show on Wild TV, which is great, and I'm glad that I did it. But man, that calendar just whips around so fast, and now I have to film again for it. So I'm filming. Makes me wonder why I did it in the first place. But anyway, it was important. I had to do something other than live for the CCFR, obviously, right? But anyway, I have a hunting show on Wild TV, as you guys might know. It's called My Best Hunt. Season one is on the internet. So you can, I think they're still showing reruns on Wild TV, but it's an interview show where if you like hunting stories, now you actually can watch a hunting story with B-roll of the actual hunt being shown while you're listening to the story, because they're YouTube hunters or they're TV hunters. And the first season did quite well. It was a blessing for sure. It's not a huge moneymaker, but it was a lot of people watched it, which is great. And, you know, it's a passion project, right? But season two, I'm filming for it now because the calendar whipped around. It's like, I have to start submitting episodes in 2.5 months from now. And I'm like, I've only filmed one. So this is all self-inflicted. But anyway, season two of My Best Hunt is going to premiere in April on Wild TV. So I'm having to do that as well. So it's been a little bit busy, but I hope everyone has taken it down a couple notches and reconnected with what's important in life. And those are the people closest to you and, you know, not so much politics. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Next, the 10th anniversary video that Tracy Wilson and I did when she came to British Columbia a few weeks ago. If you haven't watched it, going back, this is sort of something I said going back to that. If you haven't watched, I know it's almost 2 hours and I know everyone's busy, but if you can just kind of fit it in a couple of sittings and combine that with what I'll tell you about not in the next podcast, probably the one after that, the initiative that we have launching somewhere around the end of the month, it's really important that you're not supporting the CCFR and you're not acquainted with what we have done and what we are doing. Because as I said, that relationship, that trust is extremely important. Like it's paramount to me, because we can't build the organization that we built and we can't continue to operate unless, and almost psychologically for me, unless you know what we've done and that what we are doing. Because I can't tell you how excited I am to be part of the CCFR and to have the ability to fight this Liberal government for my own reasons, on my own behalf too. So anyway, if you haven't seen that video, please check it out. I know it's long, but it's really important for you to see where we've come, and we couldn't have done it without all of you. So it's almost like a thank you video as it is like an inventory of what we've done as an organization and why we did it, right? Which is really important too. All right, check that out if you can. Now I want to ask you for something. History is made by those who show up, okay? And all of you, to one extent or another, if you're watching this and you watch it often, have shown up. And I want to give you an example of it because I need something from you as a fellow gun owner. So towards the end of last year, the Liberals wanted to do a pilot project of the buyback. And then they were also courting other municipal councils to perform a similar role as the city council did in Cape Breton. So what happened was we did a rally in Cape Breton and did some other action in Cape Breton. We did a rally in Boys Town, and we did another sort of rally slash work with the city council of Charlottetown. And what happened? We moved the needle in all three situations. The one in Boys Town was just showing a presence. But if you look at Cape Breton, things happened. We made things happen in Cape Breton. If you look at Charlottetown, perfect example of those who show up make a difference. We had a bunch of people show up. We had a meeting with city council, right? You had a city council of just regular people that maybe weren't gun owners, that didn't know. The federal government is reaching out to these municipalities. This is what I'm trying to get to the point. They're reaching out to these municipalities. Big Gary is running around handing out borrowed money that future generations have to pay interest on in order to coerce these city council. Like, you need money, don't you? Well, I got money. Do a buyback with me. And it's going to help public safety. And maybe some of these, you know, maybe some of these communities have experienced gun violence and they're like, they don't know anything. They're like, I should be able to trust the federal government. You'd think, right? The gun lobby's probably lying. If anybody's lying, it's got to be the gun lobby. They're the NRA, right? Like this is the narrative. So in the case of Charlottetown, the federal government was going to give them infrastructure money, and they wanted them to play a role in this buyback program. We go there and they're like, basically, here, look at the guns they're banning. Are these weapons of war? Oh, no. Oh, look at their plan for the buyback. Looks like everybody's going to get ripped off despite what they promised to do in all this during all this time. You know, are these assault weapons? Actually, no, they're not. Like, there you go. Do you want to cooperate with this? No. All they needed was somebody to step up, and they went from something that was going to be a unanimous pass to a unanimous rejection. And you know what? You know how long that took? 2 days. So history is made by those who show up. And if you can show up and we will help you, then we can make that difference. We can keep making life difficult for these people, even if we can't conquer them in an election yet. I don't know. Does that make sense? Or am I know I'm rambling. Now, here's what I'm asking for. I think, and I don't know if this is the right number, so forgive me if this is misinformation. I think there's 2,200 or 2,800, something like that, municipalities in Canada. There is no way for the CCFR doing everything that we've done with eight people, you know, which is amazing, but we just aren't enough people to keep tabs on every municipality, especially significant ones that might be targets of the federal government for these buyback programs. Here's what I need. If you have something to do with your city council, then you know how to find out whether or not the federal government has been sniffing around or waving money under the noses of the city council. If you aren't involved with city council, just go to the website, like Kitchener City Council website or whatever, wherever you are. And then look at the minutes of past meetings. Look at the press releases, right? They're, you know, whatever, they're what's happening board. And look at the agenda of meetings coming up. And you'll see it there. Maybe even send a quick email to a city councilor or the mayor and just say, hey, can you tell me if you've had any interaction with public safety and or any interaction regarding the buyback program, the compensation program? You'll get the answer that you need. And if so, here's all you need to do. Just contact the CCFR and we will take it from there. Okay, we'll need you on the ground or whatever, but just let us know and we will organize. We will find the time to organize in any municipality that we are alerted to. Like we did it, we've done it already, right? Just in the last few months of last year, and we will do it all year long. We will either have someone talk to city council, meet with city council, or we'll fly there ourselves to do it. I just need you to let me know, okay? All you do, send a quick email, just go alert, you know, tell Rod and Tracy this, you know, Kitchener City Council, this is what's going on. They have a meeting scheduled for then, you know, and that's all you need to do. And we will take it from there. Okay. Really important. Okay. We are, every time they stick their head up, we want to hammer them down with the mallet. Boom. And they're like, oh my God, they pop up somewhere. It's whack-a-mole with these people because they're relentless and they're using your money to victimize you. So we just got to fight them every chance we get. So anyway, please help. All right. Michael Ma's riding, I just want to say thank you to everyone that is demonstrating against Michael Ma in his riding for stabbing all the people that donated, volunteered, and voted for him in the back. Like, just full on, like, I'm conservative, I'm on your side one minute, 20 hours later, what do you mean? The conservatives are a threat to democracy. You know, Mark Carney's the only game in town. He's going to tell Trump what's what. You know, so anyway, which is the inverse of reality, right? So thank you to everyone that is continuing to put the pressure on him. Please, if you're in his riding, find out who's organizing these rallies and just go to them, even if it's every 2 weeks for an hour. Just keep going. Call the media in your local neighborhood. Just say, hey, by the way, we're rallying against Michael Ma again for him stabbing everyone who believed him in the back. Same thing with Don Tremont on the East Coast, right? So I just want to thank you for doing that advocacy and please keep it up. And if you're in his riding and either of these two clowns' ridings, make an appointment to see them. Stay professional. Don't abuse them. Just go, I'm here because here are some statements you made. And then 20 hours later, you were saying the exact opposite and these are some of the statements. Can you just help me understand why? Because I try to look after my own integrity. Can you help me understand how you could have such a diametrically opposed view 20 hours later? And then let them just go, okay, well, I appreciate you answering that. Don't abuse them. Don't swear. Don't be angry. Be professional. Be respectful and just go, okay, I just was curious what your view on that. Now, can you tell me, how do you view the people that thought you're running as a conservative and donated money and voted? Like, do you, what do you do with those people? I don't know. I'm trying to understand. Like, do you apologize to them? Do you return the money? Like, what are you, do you have any plans? Or have you just erased these people? And then listen to their answer and then be like, okay, well, anyway, those were my only questions. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I appreciate it. Oh, no problem. And they'll think that everything's fine. And you'll walk out and they'll be like, oh my God, man, I'm just getting the heat every freaking day, man. I'm not going to live this down. And what happens is you may have somebody that goes, I can't take this crap anymore. And they'll resign. And you know what that means? By election and an opportunity to an elected conservative, right? Or the visuals of these demonstrations, these rallies happening outside the office goes to all the other political kind of people, the aspiring politicians in your riding going, I'm not going to do that, man. No, thank you. Yeah. If I run as a conservative, I'm going to stay a conservative. Or if I run a liberal, I'm going to stay as a liberal, which is the way it should be, right? So anyway, just wanted to mention that. All right, last thing. I know I've been going on a while, but I thought some of these things were important. Hopefully you did too. All right, if you renew your membership or you take a new membership with the CCFR, you are automatically entered you get a free entry into the Canuck Wrangler contest. So we're going to give away a Canuck Wrangler. I chose the gun and I chose the caliber, which is .38 Special and .357. Handgun rounds. So cool gun. I shot one of those over the, about 5 or 6 days ago over the holidays, which is great. And it's an awesome gun. So anyway, we're giving away one of those. That contest closes on January the 12th. So if you want to renew early, that's okay. Just log into your account on ccfr.ca or onto the app. If you renew your membership, another year from whenever it was going to expire gets tacked on. So you don't lose anything by doing it now. And if you want to take a membership, then you can do that. And we appreciate all the help. Do that before January the 12th. Okay, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. And I'll see you in the outro. Let's talk to Wilson. All right, we're back in via the internet. We've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Hey, Gil Taka. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
How was your Christmas?
It was good. It was rather quiet. Family stuff, quiet kids, but we had a great time. So it was good. Very nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We have a lot of stuff to go through and a lot of political talk actually today, because there's a lot of stuff going on politically that may affect licensed gun owners, obviously, and we've got some other things. But before we get into the politics, let's get started with the ton of shows that the CCFR is going to be involved with this spring. And there's a reason why we're talking about it, and I'll get to that in a second. So I don't know. We didn't really talk about how we're going to cover this. Why don't you throw a couple of shows out there, and I'll fill in the rest of them.
Yeah, that's right. It is show season is upon us. So we've got tons of big shows going on. February 20th to the 22nd in beautiful Calgary, Alberta is the Calgary Boat and Outdoor Show at the Stampede BMO Center. March 19th to the 22nd in Edmonton, you can see the Edmonton Boat and Sportsman Show at the Edmonton Expo Center. Of course, Toronto Sportsman Show, I'll be there. March 19th to the 22nd at the International Center. And I think you've got some BC ones to talk about.
I do. I've got the BC Sports and Wilderness Show at the TradeX in Abbotsford, British Columbia. That's on March 7th and 8th. The BC Outdoor Show in Chilliwack, British Columbia, March 14th and 15th. It's like there's a show every weekend that I'll be attending. Yeah. And it's normally the same for you as well. And then I think you mentioned TSS. I will be there as well on the 19th through 22nd. I won't be there on the 19th. But I'll be there over the weekend. And the reason why we're talking about it is all the shows that we talked about, we're going to have the brand new, because we have several of them, the brand new CCFR laser range. And that was done in partnership with Strikeman. And
That's right.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a cool setup. It's that our laser ranges are free. So it's as an attraction for people to come to the show, bring the kids. It's really cool. We got these handguns and the laser system from Strikeman. So I just want to say thank you so much to Adam from Strikeman for helping us put these together. They're beautiful little ranges too. And of course, Greg Weiss for doing all the technical stuff on behalf of the CCFR. So make sure you come out and see us at all those shows, and you will get to use the CCFR Strikeman laser range for free.
I think at Toronto Sportsman Show, I'm going to challenge you to a duel, a shootout.
Yeah, you'll lose. But that's going to be really fun.
That'll be fun. Just really quickly, I wanted to add, there's a couple of calendar events coming up. This Saturday, January 10th at the Calgary Shooting Center, 9 a.m. You can see the Gunny Girls there and pick up your calendars. They'll be on sale in store. And then January 17th, also a Saturday, at 12 noon at Tundra Supply in Edmonton. Same thing. You can see the girls, pick up your calendars, do a little shopping, and support the CCFR Women's Program.
That's awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we have some political stuff to talk about. And it's yes. interesting because it's going to border on a few kind of general politics kind of topics, which mm-hmm. we try not to do because we're trying to stay focused on things that affect people as licensed gun owners, but they do indirectly affect gun owners because it affects the government. So anyway, that's my caveat there, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And I think I didn't ask you before we started, but do we know when the House sits again?
Usually it's the third week of January.
Okay. So yeah, it's a ways.
It's a ways. Yeah. You got a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, here we go. So we're going to start off with Big Gary Ananda Sangari in the news again, and for a negative reason again.
Yeah. So Big Gary, our good friend over at Public Safety, seems to find himself in hot water an awful lot these days. Blacklock's reporter has a story out today talking about the foreign interference issue. And as you know, this is an ongoing issue in Canada. There's been political interference in our elections and in our democracy. And about 19 months ago, the Liberals had passed a piece of legislation, C-70, with the intent to crack down on foreign interference and protect Canadian democracy. Gary is looking already to weaken that. And what he's proposing is to soften the sentencing, or the punishment, I should say, for foreign interferers, actors acting on behalf of other countries, interfering in our politics over here, to make the fine as little as $50. And he also, they haven't built the foreign interference registry yet, but they're getting that put together, and he doesn't want people's names on it. So I don't know what the point of it would be. He cites privacy concerns. You know, it's funny, this government has a habitual problem of protecting kind of the worst people, and then, of course, attacking the innocent citizens. So anyways, Big Gary's making headlines already for that. And it just goes to show that this government is not serious about tackling crime, foreign interference, illegitimate actors, any of this stuff.
Public safety.
So go Big Gary.
Yeah, all the rest of it. And, you know, it's interesting because Gary Ananda Sangari follows in the footsteps of other, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's the Liberals throw out the Minister of Public Safety as a punching bag. Right. And that's why they've gone through six of them already in their time in office, 6 in 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. Because they throw these imbeciles out there like Marco Mendocino, Gary Ananda Sangari, you know, Bill Blair is a different animal for sure, but an animal nonetheless. But it's just interesting. They throw them out there to defend the worst possible policies. And then once they're used up and they're the center of the controversy, they get rid of them. Pop somebody new in there, right? Almost like they've done with the leader of of the Liberal Party. But anyway, it's just interesting. Foreign interference, $50 fine. And it's
$50.
Okay, to be fair, right? Because I don't want to be unfair. I don't want to do the same things that we accuse other people of doing, as low as $50. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, these are the same people that are like, we need to disarm all the Canadians. Basically everything other than low powered bolt actions and low powered, you know, break action, single shot rifles and shotguns. Like, you know, they're going to spend $1 billion doing it. Just kind of weird, right? Starts to really, it does a lot to help conspiracy theories to form in our society when you have this kind of behavior, but it's real.
Yeah, it's incredibly stinky. So.
All right. Now, there was something I wanted to mention. If you're looking at the, you know, how under fire the Liberal government is for all of this ineptitude, all of these broken promises, we're going to get into that in a second. And then all of the crazy behavior, nonsensical behavior, like protecting criminals while they're, you know, going it. Right now, the buyback is floundering. We've talked about this a little bit before, and I just wanted to make a couple of comments. And for the CCFR, being in the terrible position we are as gun owners, right now is exactly the right time to strike back against the buyback. The Liberals are vulnerable. Gary is vulnerable. The buyback program is an absolute train wreck, as most of us, I think, already thought it would be eventually, right? Now is the time to strike back, and the CCFR is doing that. So I'm just going to mention, in the last episode, I mentioned that we have maybe the biggest project, aside maybe from the lawsuit, as far as dollars are concerned, we have maybe the biggest project we've ever done, and it's coming out. I'm hopefully getting this out by the end of this month, by the end of January. We'll see. But now's the time to strike, and the CCFR is going to be there. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, the Carney government is in trouble on a number of different fronts, and Polyev is experiencing a resurgence, which is interesting, and we got to kick this around. Why don't you get it started?
That's right. So I know, you know, the talk has been, we've talked about this many times, but the talk has been about how Polyev blew a lead and all this stuff. And to be perfectly honest, it's Carney who's blown the lead. And the conservatives are seeing a resurgence in the polls. Polyev has a leadership vote coming up later this month. Carney is under fire for overpromising and under-delivering. We've seen it on a number of different files, you know, outside of our purview, stuff like trade deals. There's a lot of promises being made and a lot of announcements and press conferences and photo ops, but there hasn't been a single deal signed. And, you know, at some point, even Liberal pundits are talking about at some point he's going to have to start putting out. He's going to have to start producing some stuff here. There's been a lot of jobs lost, too. There's tens of thousands of jobs have been lost. And I think he's struggling because he's, you know, trying to keep support from both the left and the right, both sides of his little coalition that he built during the last election. But the problem is when you try and appease everybody, you end up appeasing nobody. And that's starting to come through. And I think that at least what we can see with Polyev is whether or not you agree with him, at least he takes a stance, takes a position on something and holds it and defends it. And, you know, people want that. People don't want wishy-washy.
Well, I think because wishy-washy is an indicator that you never believed whatever in the first place, right?
That's right.
You know, and I'd like to think it's obviously it's not all Canadians because Canadians voted for the Liberals again, right? And I don't know, there could be, we could spool out a ton of commentary on that. But if you look at Carney's problems, you know, he's like, we're going to build at rates you've never seen, at speeds that have never been seen before in the country. He's built nothing. Not a single of these, you know, nation building projects has been started. And apparently, and I don't know this for a fact, right? Because I'm really careful about making sure that I know exactly what's going on before I make a claim. So I can't tell you that I've looked into all the projects, but it seems to be the word on the street that all the projects that Carney had been bragging about, that these nation building projects had been projects that were already in progress in the planning stages before Carney even showed up. So there was no new projects. He put a whole bunch of roadblocks in his own way to make sure a pipeline could never be built. And I haven't seen these projects at all move forward. And on top of that, we're going to build 500,000 new homes, which everyone from all sides of the political spectrum went, that's impossible. Like, that's not possible at all, not even close. And apparently it's like 4,000 homes in almost a year, right? So, I mean, Trudeau made the same promise, so it's probably been more than a year. So a lot of promises, built nothing. No deals either, I believe.
Nothing. No deals. And that's what I mean. At some point, you know, if you think back to the election, And the big turnaround that the Liberals had after they got rid of Trudeau and put Carney in is they ran him as the guy, you know, to deal with the crisis, the guy to deal with Trump, the only guy who could get a deal made. And yet he's been flying all around the world, having all these meetings and photo ops, and there isn't a single deal signed. You know, there's some promises and some, you know, intentions, you know, but nothing has come to fruition yet. And that is eventually going to catch up with Carney if he doesn't change that around. So, yeah, it's just an interesting time because, yeah, a month ago I was like, oh, this guy's on his way to a majority. And now it's like, oh, I don't know. Even the Liberal pundits are talking about a spring or a summer election, which would be much more welcomed than a Christmas election would have been. So, yeah, we'll see.
Well, and Poilievre's numbers have recovered. And that's, you know, I know we've talked about this before, but it's interesting how, you know, Poilievre was under so much fire for not winning the election. And it was close, like in a lot of ridings, it was close. And had we won those ridings, then the numbers would be all different. But if you look at what, it's interesting. Poilievre is recovering. He was under all this fire and it really wasn't from, you know, true conservatives. It was the mainstream media. It was the Liberal Party. It was all of these shadowy groups that have been helping the Liberal Party this whole time. So let me give you an example, and you'll see where this is all going in a second. Is I was watching you on a podcast. I think it might have been the Elevate podcast. And you had said something. I'm like, oh, you know what? That's not accurate. And we talked about this before. And you said, okay, well, just bring that up as the segue. So one of the things you said was we were the seventh largest third party advertiser in the past election. Of course we were. And you'd said that there was no other right leaning election advertiser that spent more money than we did. So, and I said, well, that's actually not true. So in total, that's six that spent more money than the gun lobby in Canada did, which even every time I say it is pretty amazing, right? That the gun lobby in Canada has got to that point, but we're here now. And we're only going to do better. But nonetheless, out of those six people, there was one right-leaning group that spent more than we did, about $100,000 more, actually. And if you think about that, and this is the point, Pierre Poilievre and the Conservative Party of Canada, forget for a second, they got the most votes in the history of the party, in the history of any Conservative government in Canadian history. Like, that's pretty impressive as it is. It wasn't enough. Fair enough. But they got outspent so terribly, it's hard to imagine. Those top six spenders, only one other one was right-leaning. On top of that, as we've said before, and you know all about it, starting about six months before the last election, there's some group that spent $4 million, Protecting Canada, I think is what they called themselves, that spent $4 million attacking specifically Poilievre for 6 months straight on Home and Garden TV, on every mainstream television network. Full attack ads for half a year. Where did that $4 million come from? And certainly conservative groups, they would never cobble together $4 million. The pressure that Poilievre and the conservatives were under, the opposition, like it was so huge. It is a miracle that the Liberals didn't get a clear majority. And if you look at it, think of it from the perspective of dollars spent, like they should have. So it's funny. The Liberals get together, the media establishment and many others, they get together, tell you, oh, Poilievre's not the guy. He's too mean. He's too negative. It's like, look around. There's a lot to be negative about and there's problems that need to be solved. But Poilievre actually led the party. Can you imagine if Aaron O'Toole was there? Or somebody else? You got to be joking me.
Yeah. Well, when you've got these special interest groups that are, you know, incredibly well funded to spend $4 million before the writ drops, I mean, it's, you know, unheard of. But forget all that. Think about you've got that going on. You've got the mainstream media stacked up. Scheer just did a video comparing the media's reaction to are the conservatives' reaction to Carney saying, who cares about a question asked by a journalist on when he last spoke with the American president. Carney reacts, who cares? And the media makes the story about how the conservatives are attacking, I'm using air quotes for those listening to audio, or pouncing on the prime minister. And not a word about the fact that when asked about when was the last time you met with the American president, Carney just says, who cares? Forget the tens of thousands of jobs lost. Forget the fact that we don't have, trade deals. You know, forget all that. Who cares? Like, it's a perfect example of how you've got all these different entities kind of all stacked up against him. And yet he's still doing remarkably well and resurging. So, yeah, it's just, when the people who are opposed to you, when the conservatives should not take advice from liberals on who should lead their party. Yeah. They should take that advice from conservatives.
Yeah. Anyway, it's at the end of the day, the reason why we're talking about a lot of general political issues like this is if we don't end up with a conservative government, the liberals are going to follow through with all their plans. And whether or not you get paid for any guns, whether or not you turn guns in, they're going to be prohibited. And you've got that legal liability hanging over your head for the rest of your life. And we need to peel that back. And right now, that's the only way to do it while preserving the system that we have. Because, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but it's important. I just want people to have this in the back of their minds. If we don't have the system that we have right now, there's going to be a new system rolled out and you're not going to like it. So we need to take control of the system the way it is and try to reform it. And there's only one game in town to do that. And I know not everybody wants to hear that, but we over here have to deal with reality. We can't just run around on the internet talking about our fantasy about go with the best, whoever's got the best policies. It's whoever can win. And can we influence that policy? That's the most important thing, because that's just how it's done. That's just reality. So, sorry, not sorry, I guess. All right. So you and I will be at the Conservative Party of Canada Policy Convention, and that is in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's right. So it's at the end of the month in beautiful Calgary, Alberta. So we will be there. There will be votes on different policies. And of course, Pierre's big leadership review. So we'll bring all the latest and greatest news on that as it happens.
All right. So I think that does it for our list. We didn't have a huge list this time because it was actually pretty quiet over Christmas, which was nice.
Yeah. There is a lot going on in the world, but it doesn't all have to do with licensed Canadian gun owners. So
there is a lot going on.
There sure is.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay. Well, thanks for the update. And I guess we will see you in the next one.
Okay. We'll see you then.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 202 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. Make sure to share the podcast, all the things. As you know, in the intro, I threatened you with a personal story. It has to do with my health. If you don't want to hear that story, I'm going to leave that to the end, and I'm going to deal with more important business right now, which is CCFR Field Officer of the Month for December 2025, which is our great friend, Jason Warren. So, Jason, this is the second time Jason's won this. He's a phenomenal individual. It is the honor of my life, actually, to have met all the people that help the CCFR do what they do on their own time, using their own passion and everything that they have as people to just help other gun owners, asking for nothing in return. Like, it's serious honor having a chance to meet all these people. So anyway, I'm not going to go on and on about the volunteers, which you're probably like, oh, here comes Field Officer of the Month. He's going to yap his head off about the volunteers. I'm going to try not to do that. But anyway, thank you so much, Jason, for all your effort. And of course, you get a year's free subscription to CATF, donated by Donovan Dewis, another fantastic individual over at Canadian Access to Firearms. You get a $100 promo code. And of course, you get mentioned here on the podcast and on the television show as well. Okay. There you go. I've had to do this a few takes because I'm trying to make it as short as possible, but people do ask me about my health. Now, if you're kind of a new follower of the CCFR, you may not be aware, I'm a cancer survivor, stinking twice. At least I've survived so far, right? I don't know. You can be a cancer survivor, but it's just has to do with the length of time, whether you're a survivor or not, I guess. Anyway, So the quick summary is I've had cancer twice when I was 48, which would have been in 2018. Through a CT scan, I found a tumor the size of a peach in my left kidney, no other symptoms. And so they took my left kidney out. I lost my left kidney, which is a very painful surgery, long recovery. But it looked like I had no spread of the cancer. And there you go. That was over, apparently. And then in 4 years later, I developed throat cancer, head and neck cancer. So squamous cell carcinoma. And the just kind of foreshadowing, it was because I had an unknown, undiagnosed tumor behind my right tonsil, which metastasized to the two lymph nodes that you can still see. Yeah, one here and then one on the side. Like I'll always have those because they're full of scar tissue, but that's those two things swole up. That's how we figured out I had cancer. And I survived that, right? Now this was 4 years and 3 months ago, something like that. I got out of treatment 4 years and 3 months ago. So anyway, so the reason this is significant is that I had all kinds of different health problems. I was always overweight. I didn't know, but I was chronically inflamed my whole life. So a lot of this overweightness actually was all fluid because I was chronically inflamed. I had no idea. I just thought that I was overweight my whole life, which, you know, whatever. And I had muscle pain problems, and there's certain exercise I couldn't do. I would just get injured, like push-ups. I could do like 5-4 good push-ups, maybe. Like even when I was 20, maybe do 7 or something, right? So I'm just like, oh, I'm just genetically, I'm a suck, right? But I'm alive, and, you know, I got a decent life, and, you know, I'm still grateful, right? So anyway, I get this head and neck cancer, and I go to treatment, and I bet my life on declining chemotherapy and just taking the radiation based on the success rates of both of those balanced against what they would do to me. Primarily, the reason I made that decision is because I only have one kidney and I had a 34% chance of having significant and irreversible kidney damage from cisplatin, which is the drug they wanted to give me. And I was just like, and even the sort of low level immunotherapy that they would still offer is kind of a bargain basement Timu immunotherapy that only increased my chances of survival by, I don't know, like 7% or something like that. I forget what they call that, but it was just like, there was a chance of kidney damage and of course other things too. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go with the radiation because radiation is nasty and incredibly toxic, but I could live with the problems I would get from that better than being on dialysis. So anyway, I don't want to get too into detail. So I go through treatment and it's rough. Head and neck cancer treatment is rough. Anyone that's had it knows it's a battle. So anyway, when you're trying to recover from radiation, it's rough as well. Right? So I got out of treatment on, it was September 26th, 2021, if memory serves me correctly. I was going through cancer treatment during COVID. And it was terrible. And actually for about 1 year there, I thought I was actually going to die. I was not doing well. So anyway, after about a year take that year after treatment and then back up just a little bit, I started looking at this diet, the carnivore diet. I'd done a million diets over my life because I've always sort of battled with my weight. And then I always thought, oh, maybe some of these other problems, the inflammation, the muscle problems, the acid reflux, I had a whole bunch of different problems, right? And I thought, oh, that's just what it is to be, you know, to suck genetically, right? You know, that's okay. As I said, I'm still grateful. Well, this is an extreme diet. And I was afraid of it, right? Because I'd just gone through cancer the second time. It's like, what if this screws up my cancer? But anyway, I did a ton of research, really delved into it. Every waking moment that I wasn't dealing with guns, I was researching this thing. And then I decided I would try it. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The primary way that oncologists would monitor whether or not the cancer came back was to monitor the size of these two lymph nodes in my neck. So The follow-up was MRIs, because that's what I would accept because I took too much radiation already, right? I'm like, give me MRIs for God's sakes. They're long, they're arduous, but there's no radiation, ionizing radiation. So anyway, they're measuring these things. If these things start to swell again, they start to grow, cancer's probably back, and then I probably have 4 to 5 months to live. Like, that was the scenario. So anyway, I was convinced, like, I'm probably going to die. This thing's going to come back because they never went down, right? A lot of people, the lymph nodes go back down. But mine, there's a story, there's a reason why they didn't. But anyway, I want to get into that too. So anyway, I've had private MRIs and I've had public MRIs. When you get a public MRI, typically, if it's not a like red alert emergency, like it takes stinking 2 to 3 weeks, at least in where I am in the lower mainland of British Columbia, to get results, which is absurd. I went private a couple of times. You know how long it took? 20 hours, like 24 hours, like within a day, right? Because it had to be less than 24 hours because I had logged into my account and there's the results. But anyway, this was a public one. So it's been like 2 weeks or whatever. And that between the time that I got this MRI, which was one of my follow-ups, to the time that I decide I would start this diet. It was, I don't know, it was about 2 weeks, 2 weeks-ish, right? Maybe a week and a half. And I'm like, you know, everything I'm sure will be okay. I'm doing this diet. I'm doing this thing, right? You know, everyone going like, that's extreme. Don't do it. Damn everybody, I'm trying it, right? So I start this diet and then all of a sudden everything changes, like within 2 days, right? And you may have heard this story before, but all of a sudden, like I lost 10 pounds in 9 days, you know, all my muscle pain goes away. I mean, my record, maybe, I don't know, 8 months later, it wasn't 5 pushups, man. It was 70, right? Like I took 1 minute breaks every 7 pushups, but I could do 70, like just nothing I could have ever done before. Like it changed my life, right? Lost 35 pounds. But in those first, like, I don't know, 6, 7 days, like I lost like 8 pounds or something. And you know what it was? It was fluid because I lost it all in here. And all of a sudden my veins start popping out. I'm like, what is going on? Like I'm not losing fat. Like I'm losing fat, but it was fluid. I was chronically inflamed my whole life because I was eating the wrong things. So the diet that I was on was the true carnivore diet is beef, salt, and water. Well, I didn't do that. I did beef, bacon, eggs, butter, and I can tolerate cheese. So the one thing I will tell you, this is all anecdotal. The one thing I can tell you is we are all different. People are very, very different metabolically and physiologically. They're just different. And some people respond to some things. Keto never worked for me. I cut out, not just didn't go low carb. I cut out the rest of the carbs and I turned into somebody else. And my brain lit up and it changed the way that I see things. And all the rest, like it was really weird. So then, I don't know, I'm into this diet, I don't know, 4 or 5 days or something. And I get the results that this thing in my neck started to grow. And the oncologist lost their minds and they're sending me for all these tests. And I'm like, And I'm just going to skip to the end of this part. That was what, that was 2.5 years ago. And they haven't grown since. If they kept growing, I would have been dead in 4 or 5 months, but they haven't grown since. I'm still alive. I'm still doing really great. Better than I've ever, I feel better than I did when I was 20. So anyway, all this to say, something happened to me today, which was just over the holidays, this guy, I'd gone on this carnivore podcast. Somebody had recommended me to this fella, Dave Mack, that's got this channel, No Carb Life is the name of the channel. And he interviews people that have done the carnivore diet and you know, how it worked and their experience and whatever. Very basic stuff, but a lot of knowledge there. And I had seen his channel and he reached out and he said, hey, somebody recommended I should have you on. And I went on and I told the story. And if you're interested in kind of the details of all this, I would encourage you, it's about 1 hour. And I'll put a link in the description to the actual interview, the original one. So that was back in 2025. Dave gets a hold of me, says, hey, my interview with you was the biggest, most watched video I had of the entire year. I'm like, really? And he goes, because I mean, the no carb people, the carnivore people, they don't know who I am. Like, I'm a nobody. Well, I'm still a nobody, but still, right? Even more so of a nobody in the carnivore world. And I'm like, great. And he goes, would you come on for an update? And I'm like, absolutely. So I just finished that this morning. And it just made me relive everything that I've been through. And, you know, I said to Dave, and you can watch the update video if you want. By the time you're watching this, this is out. But I said to Dave, you know, I do advocacy for a living, like, and this was offline, right? And I think I said something to do with this when we were talking on, you know, being recorded. And I said, you know, I've passed this story on to a few people. I don't know how many, because I've told you this story, all of you out there. But personally, I've passed this story on to a few people and it really helped, like maybe even saved a few people because it saved me. So, and nothing has made me prouder than that, because I don't know if there's anything that could be better to give somebody else, but give them a better quality of life and or a life if they were like me and on their way to death, maybe. So anyway, will it work for everybody? I don't know. I can't claim that, but it saved my life. I'm pretty convinced of it. So anyway, also, you know, that's the end of that story. So you can check out that original interview. I watched it for the first time since, well, I never watched it actually. I just did it, right? Thought I remembered everything, but it was interesting to listen to because it's recounting my own story. And there was, I don't know, 1,100 comments or something. And I actually read the comments, which I never do. And what a supportive community. Like just, you know, it really, really renewed my faith in human beings and was just a nice departure from everything else that we have to deal with in the fight that we're in. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Hopefully this wasn't too long for you, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.